Welcome to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical and apply these medicines to the recovery from addiction and trauma. Hello, and thanks for joining me here on another episode of the Sober Shaman Podcast. I appreciate your time and attention and your interest. This particular episode is entitled AI Has No Spirit, and this will be the first of many different explorations into this new world as we enter, and how AI will be affecting us in the realm of healing, medicine, addiction, mental health, emotional health, and spirituality. What's that going to look like? How's it going to affect it? And I've heard, like I'm sure you have, all the talk, good and bad, about what AI is going to change, and it's going to force its way into so many different aspects of our lives. And again, for good and bad, I like to think of it like a tool. And is that tool going to be used for a human to attain mastery at something? In other words, will it help in a particular craft? Or will it be used to as a tool so that we can enter into a life of complacency? So tools can be used in two different ways, right? We can hit each other over the head with a tool, and then there's the other half of people that will fix the people who've been hit over the head with the same tool, right? It could be used to harm. It could be used to heal. It can be used for mastery and the onward progression and growth of the human soul and our souls and our spirits, or it can be used so that we lie on the couch and anesthetize ourselves with media, substances, fill in the blank. So I'm curious what this is going to do. I was listening to a podcast where they were talking about the coming changes in all kinds of things that AI, especially like air flights, individual drones, and of course the probably the first step will be the AI-driven cars, this inevitability. But it's also talking about medicine, and the advances in medicine that are going to happen are going to be astronomical. It's what people I've heard compare it to. You know, this is the tractor coming. What it used to take 100 people to plow a field, now it's going to take 2 people, right? One person to drive the tractor and the other person to fix the tractor, and that's pretty much it. And in the realm of medicine, I find this fascinating. And as a licensed healthcare practitioner in the realm of medicine, people have asked me, you know, do you feel like your job's at risk? Of course, administering acupuncture and evaluations based upon the doctor as artist versus doctor as scientist, I believe we have to be both. That'll be a whole subject of another talk, right? And I'd love to get your opinions on that, what that's going to look like. But let's just stay with this for now. I mean, the advancements that are coming, well, one of the things was a blood test for early detection of cancer. Amazing. Wonderful. And the identification of and the ability to either begin the healing process and or take over the whole healing process for certain specific diseases is fantastic. The problem, I believe, is when now we enter into, well, what about obesity, smoking, anxiety, depression, addiction? What happens when everything just gets plugged into an algorithm? I don't think there's answers there. And I believe that the human-to-human connection for diagnosis, for acknowledging another person, for sharing spirit to spirit, soul to soul, connection is that inherent part of the treatment is vital. And maybe not for everything, right? There are places where, you know, it's pretty much going to be the same delineation, to use these terms, between Western medicine and alternative medicine. We can argue about how you want to label that, but I'm just saying that now. In other words, there are certain things that Western medicine is good at, and with the advent of an integration of AI, it's going to get even better at. Wonderful. Fantastic. And at the same time, it's not going to be able to touch the things it still is not able to touch that we, in alternative medicine, literally touch and feel and are able to see, as I like to say, with our fingers, and to take in information by being in the room, by palpation, by observation, by auscultation, and smelling, and I'm going to stay away from the term intuit, but to empty ourselves and to allow something bigger to come through to make the decisions, yet at the same time holding on to the responsibility of all my learning and all of the things that I am responsible for and doing the right thing. And this isn't just a woo-woo, follow the intuition, I feel this. It's a balancing act of both at the same time. And it's also pretty cool to be able to have this one particular scenario of, hey, how would you like to be able to have a psychotherapy session with Carl Jung, right? Now, the ability to have Carl Jung downloaded into AI and you to be able to ask a question and to basically have a therapy session that's pretty damn cool, right? And you plug in your person of choice and soon enough, we'll have visuals. So it will look, feel, sound, seem like you are interacting with your person of choice. I mean, what's wrong with that? Having a physics class with Einstein, getting to sit in, how about the Greek Senate and listen to an argument from Plato, or go into the mountains of China and get a Taoist lesson from Lao Tzu? Hey, that sounds pretty cool to me. What's wrong with that? Well, there's nothing wrong with that if you look at the limitations upon which it gives you and what the reality of what it gives you and what it does not give you. It does not give you spirit. There's no spirit in AI. I was listening to a recent podcast from the Brain Forest Cafe of Dennis McKenna, he had on Paul Stamets. And when I heard those two were talking about psilocybin and what's going on, and they started going down the AI hole immediately, I was hooked. And one of the summing up quotes that Dennis McKenna says, let me get it here. He says to Paul, "But it seems to me that AI has been developed by people who don't understand things like compassion and random acts of kindness and these sorts of things. It seems like it's entirely transactional and the AI lacks a spirit. I don't care what they say. What is missing from AI? There's no spirit to it." And that's Dennis McKenna. And Paul Stamets had brought up one of the things he had asked AI, and it was about, what's the point of random acts of kindness? Can you explain that to me? And AI came back with, basically, there is no point to it. That does not make sense to have a random act of kindness, which gets to the exact point that we're talking about. There is no spirit. So what exactly does spirit do, and why is that even important, and what's the big deal? Well, for me, one of the big things about addiction, healing trauma, medicine, that has anything to do with a client, with a patient, with my, when I am in those roles, participation in the process. Now, once again, Western medicine is great at the type of medicine that does not require any participation from the patient. You show up, okay, don't eat 24 hours before surgery. Okay, great. You know, don't eat that morning, whatever that is. You follow the rules. But that's pretty much the limit of the participation. Anything else that I bring to the table, that my patient brings to the table, involves some type of acknowledgement that they are involved, that they are responsible, that there is their ego, my ego, wills, desires, all of these things go into the mix and are part of the medicine. So one of the big things for me is the idea of surrender. And when I am in the role of practitioner, it is my job, often, pretty much every session, it gets to a point where I have to surrender. I may come into a session with a full list of preparation that I feel like we being me and the client, need to go through to get through, and I've got a plan, and I've got steps, and I've got homework involved, and they should do this exercise. But then also, the patient is coming in with their own set of expectations and where they're at. So in the wonderful container of a session is the alchemy of the moment. And of course, I bring in the preparation, and I bring in all of the set of circumstances that I'm bringing, that the client is bringing, and at some point, I'm going to have to surrender everything in that, maybe I don't know what's next. Maybe I have no idea. Maybe I need something that is smarter, bigger, more powerful than what I can bring to this table. And that something bigger is spirit. That something bigger is not AI. Because spirit and my act of surrender is new. I am opening myself up to something that has never been seen before, and we are creating something unique in this moment. That's a medicine of healing. Because AI is based upon programming from the past, sure, it can bring in its suggestions of what the creation should be, and you know what? Who knows in the future of, you know, how advanced that's going to get to be, and there's all kinds of rabbit holes to go down with this, but for right now, keeping it simple, it cannot create anything new, and I can create something new by getting out of the way. One of the wonderful things that I talk about both in as a practitioner and as a client in lesson 18 from the program is the power of surrender. When I get out of the way, I become a conduit. I become the hollow bone, as we say in shamanism. So what comes through me? Power. The power of spirit comes through me. Why? Because it's bigger and better and can do a whole lot more than anything I can come up with. And at the same time, I am responsible for holding that space. I am responsible for becoming that conduit, for being the best hollow bone, the best structure. Maybe that's planning. Maybe that is the exercises that I offer. But if I hang on to what I think is right, because this exercise is perfect, I know it is, that just blocks the hollow bone. That blocks me as a conduit, because what am I blocking it with? I'm blocking it with me, what I think I know. So, of course, that blocks anything bigger than anything I think I know, and there's plenty, right? So that's the paradox of power. As we talk about in Lesson 18, the only way to be powerful is to be powerless. And as a client, that's one of the beauties of that term in recovery about powerlessness and how I approach it, because so many people, including myself, have such a problem with that word as it was first introduced. And this idea of surrender. So, one of the things I get asked is, how do you know what you're surrendering to? How do you know what the spirit is? You know, why don't I just surrender to AI? Because AI knows better than me, because it's filled with, you know, everything downloaded from Einstein and Plato and Lao Tzu. So, what's wrong with that? Again, it doesn't have spirit. And what I want to be in relationship with is my choice. It's like lesson 16 from the program. What wolf do you feed? I want to feed the white wolf. I want to feed spirits, power, forces that are greater than I. And that I am in relationship with so that I can continue to grow. My soul's path, the journey that I am on, can continue to move in the right direction. And going down surrendering to AI's reprogramming, algorithmic, doesn't feel right to me, and it doesn't feel healing. Once again, would I take that blood test for early detection of fill in the blank? Heck yeah! No problems with that, but I'm not going to surrender my humanness and the responsibility of my humanness to that, because I want to choose who I'm in relationship with, because relationship with spirit is a two-way street. As I feed it, it feeds me back. So what am I getting fed back with from the spirits that I am in relationship with? Well, that's my gig, and that's why I feed those spirits. And so one of the things I help people do is to explore this concept for themselves, that when you surrender, what are you surrendering to, and what are you getting back from that? And so often we want to know. It's like, what's the deal? What's the agreement, as I like to say in Principle 3 about relationships? What is the agreement here? Because it is a two-way street. I'll segue and answer that through this second part of the podcast. And it's an interesting synchronicity. As I'm recording this on an Islamic holy day, which is the Feast of the Sacrifice, and the synchronicity is that the Islamic tradition recognizes and has a holiday for the Old Testament's Abraham. Now, Abraham was that person who was in relationship with God and is very important from three different religions' point of view. And each religion has a different relationship with Abraham, so it's interesting that Judaism, Abraham is in the Old Testament, so there is a Judaic relationship, there is an Islamic relationship, and then there is a Christian relationship and perception of an explanation for the story of Abraham. And Abraham, it's a famous story where God tests Abraham, and I'm going to summarize very blandly and quickly, to sacrifice his son, Isaac, and then Abraham will receive descendants as many as the stars and plenty of land to put all those people on, and that's the agreement from God. But you've got to sacrifice your son. So Abraham's all ready to do it. And at the last minute, right before Abraham sacrifices his son Isaac, God sends an angel, and the angel stops him and replaces Isaac with a ram to be sacrificed. I'm not too keen on this whole version of God and this whole version of sacrifice. And one of the synchronistic things that happened today, I wasn't going to talk about Abraham, because the whole story has always rubbed me like sandpaper spiritually. And when I've talked about this with wise religious people, they had plenty of wonderful interpretations of the story and the deliverance of what sacrifice is, what the rewards of sacrifice are, faith, obedience, which was never a good one for me. And so the synchronicity was, I woke up this morning here in Thailand to my son sending me a picture of a tattoo that he just got of our last name, Lyons. So the idea of father to son on this feast day of Abraham and sacrifice and lineage and promises hit me. And so I decided, well, you know, let me go a little bit deeper into why this has always bugged me, and maybe I can come out of it with something a little more concrete and articulate that can help me understand, and maybe as I express it a little better, it can help somebody else too. So my last podcast was also the opposite of addiction is sacrifice. So this is kind of a theme that's been on my mind lately, as it's been with clients and myself. So one of the things that I drilled down that bugged me was that in the story of Abraham and in a lot of the presentations of the idea of sacrifice is that it is transactional. And to go back to that quote of what bugged Dennis McKenna about AI was that it seems like it's entirely transactional and AI lacks a spirit. This idea of being transactional, this idea of an agreement that even transactional, like, if I don't eat this piece of cake now, I'll feel better physically later, and I'll feel better emotionally about myself later. So even if it's just me, it's still that transactional, if I sacrifice now, I'll get something later. So in Abraham's case, in the story, and again, I'm oversimplifying things, but this is drills down to the part that bugged me, was this transactional thing. God makes the agreement with him. If you sacrifice your son now, then you get descendants as many as the stars and lands to put them upon later. The Christian version, which is about, which leads to Christ, let me just fast forward there, which is that Christ's moment upon the cross. His whole purpose of coming down from Christianity's point of view is that God, I send my son so that he dies for the sins of the world so that you guys can enter heaven. So God made the sacrifice of his son, which was a human that we can all see and touch and talk to and God personified. So there is this sacrifice of Jesus so that later on we can all enter the gates of heaven. Again, it's transactional. Take care of this now. You get that later. Part of that has always really bugged me. And so what I came down to is this. When we surrender, it's not about, well, if I do this now, I'll get that later. Sure. I'll speak for myself. I've got plenty of that going on if I'm looking at the cake and I'm thinking, if I don't eat this now, I'll feel better about it later. And that works for me. And that is me thinking in the mental aspect and making a bargain and agreement with myself that is transactional and completely making logical sense in the mental. Where's the spirit? Spirit for me is about the magic of transformation. Spirit, when spirit comes through and I am that hollow bone and I am in surrender, when I am truly in surrender, I am not thinking about what I'm getting in the future, because that is another part of me that just blocks me as a conduit. So surrender also, sacrifice also has to, when done in this way, surrender future reward. So the idea that Abraham was going to get descendants and land, future reward, to me, that just blocks up the present moment. And in the present moment is when the magic of surrender happens, because when I truly surrender and I truly sacrifice, I am letting go of my future reward. I am not hanging on to the agreement and saying, boy, I'll feel better if I don't eat this cake now. I'm letting go of that too. And of course, the bigger sacrifices than cake. So for me, in the sacrifice of the present moment, I make space for spirit to come through to perform that transformation of me releasing whatever future reward I'm being promised. The gates of heaven will open before you. Yeah, you know what? Right here, right now, in this moment, it's okay. I don't need that future reward to do this sacrifice. So in the magic of surrender, in the magic of sacrifice, in the magic that is delivered through random acts of kindness that make no sense, this is the language of spirit, the heart, and I don't think AI can provide this yet. Why? Because it has no spirit. It has no soul. So, this idea of future reward, what if the future reward is just more of the same? In other words, what if the agreement in the sacrifice is the reward? What? Like, no, the piece of cake is the reward. No, the sacrifice is the reward. The practice is the reward. The practice of what? The practice of the release of promises. The practice of the release of the dangling carrot of the future. The release of all of those attachments to it'll be better if I do this. No, the reward is our life, to get to do it again. To get to do what again? Eat the cake? No, to sacrifice again. That doesn't sound like a reward. No, that's the magic. The reward is the gift of life, of possibility, of more here and now, of seeing that picture of my son with our last name on it, of I get another chance today, tomorrow, of sacrificing some way, somehow, for him, for the future, for my clients, for the practice. The opportunity is the gift. And when we recognize and acknowledge and realize that the opportunity to do the next right thing, as they say in addiction program, the opportunity to feed the helping and compassionate spirits so that they can feed us back with another opportunity to do it again. This is the relationship that is the reward. So to be able to help, to teach, to lead those that are just behind us on the path, that are stuck in some kind of cycle block, this is medicine. This is the medicine. This is the magic. This is the opportunity. And what a gift it is to be able to give that, right? So whether this is in recovery, healing of any and all kinds, the gift of teaching the next generations as we move through the initiations of our life, entering into older phases, to my son and to those, again, just behind us. This is the gift of sacrifice. For me, this is the gift of surrender, because it is here and now. And I am relieved of the dangling promise of tomorrow. And what is that Joseph Campbell quote from the Dead Sea Scrolls? Heaven is spread upon the earth and men do not see it. Heaven is here and now, if we make it so. Hell is here and now, if we make it so and act within the repetitive, predictable cycle of addiction, whether that is in a substance, in an action, or even just a belief in an identity, round and around repeating it goes. Surrender and sacrifice is a way off of that merry-go-round. And maybe the reward is in the sacrifice. The reward is the sacrifice. And the gift is another chance to do it all over again. Well, that's what I came up with. I'd love to know your thoughts on this. I'd love to know, and we'll be going a lot more into it, how AI will be affecting medicine. Doctor as scientist, doctor as artist. Lots of stuff to explore there, that's for sure, and we will be. But for now, let me know what you think of this. Please hit the little like button. Thank you for listening. Send me any questions you have. Until next time, blessings. Thanks for listening to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical. Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Send me any questions or comments you have. Check out the website, randalllyons.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, blessings.